Welcome to Call with Dads. Let's talk.
Sweet. You know, the funny thing I found out was on Kick, as we're just getting things up and going, it's, I guess Kick's videos only last for like 3 weeks and then they disappear. So
yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, but it's a short-term view and then you're done and move on and blah, blah, blah.
Like Snapchat, as soon as you view it, it goes away.
I've actually never had that, so I couldn't really tell you.
I had it years and years ago, like when it first came out and I was like 20 years old.
You know, talking about the stupid things we did when we were younger and all this. Because, I can't go into it. And even, I'll be honest with you, even when I was at my company event and I was just putting away the maker's marks, and even then I was smart enough to know when somebody says, "So Eric, tell us about," I'm like, "Nope.
Nope.
I'm not telling you about my earlier years. I don't tell my kids about my earlier years."
Yeah.
Nope.
I remember my wife was telling me, we like knew a couple people, you know, a couple parents that go to my daughter's school and stuff. So, like when they started hanging out more, the other mom told Erin, my wife, to get Snapchat because she has Snapchat and it's a good way to pass pictures back and forth and joke, let the kids joke and stuff like that. I was like, for one, you're 40, she's 40. She should not have Snapchat. It's not for 40-year-olds. She's married.
Which makes you wonder why.
So why does she have Snapchat? Who is she sending pictures to that she wants the pictures to automatically delete? So if you do, if she wants to send pictures back and forth between you and her about the kids goofing off and stuff, there's Facebook. There's, I mean, even Instagram, even Twitter.
Text
messages. There's, I mean, there's 100 other platforms. Snapchat is the last one you need to use.
it's
super weird.
It kind of goes into like the people we have around us. The fact of, and see,
those two are divorced now, by the way.
What a shock.
Less than a year later. Yeah.
What a shock. Yeah. But like it just don't, it's one of those things that I think about how with all the people I used to hang out with, right? Like I never grew up as a heavy drinker. And then I ended up getting out on my own, being around some wild crazy people. And then next thing I knew, I was a heavy drinker. I was a partier, I was this and that.
Yeah.
So trying to see the cat. So a lot of the fact of the people I was around, I'm like, okay, well, I'm with these type of people. I should hang out and do the things they do just because it makes sense. And I heard the other day, and that's kind of why like I want to have this conversation. It talked about the rule of five. The four closest people you have around you, whatever they are, will be what you are. So if you're, like I said, a drinker, I was around a bunch of drinkers, partiers, things like that. So naturally I was young. I was like 20, 21 years old. So I wanted to fit in. I drank. If I spent my time around, once I got around the people that were in office world and they were more business minded, things like that, I tend to kind of think about business, kind of try to set things up, do these different things. And it has me realizing that with my kid, I don't want him to learn the hard way like I did, where you're around drinkers, you're around stupid people, you're going to be a drinker, you're going to be stupid, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing I hear a lot of people say is, oh, you can't control who your kids are around.
Right.
Well,
yes.
First off, it depends on their age. If they're 21 and out there, then no.
Then right, no.
Yeah. But my 7-year-old, yeah, I can control who he's around. My 4-year-old, I can control who she's around.
Yeah.
When they're teenagers, I can still say, no, you're not going to be around that person.
Right.
If I catch you around them, there's going to be issues because that person is bad news. That person is going to be bad for your future, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Now, mind you, my kid might hate me at that time, but they'll learn, hey, it's not always the best idea to be around these people. And hopefully they understand that. But I think it's craziness that if you don't think about it, like when we were younger, like when you talked quite a few times about your earlier years, did it start off because of you just wanted to, or was it because of who you're around?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, I was around a lot of people that were drinkers, pot smokers, the womanizer thing kind of, I
It
guess,
kind of
just
goes hand
came.
in hand.
Yeah, right. Those that kind of just came, just kind of because those two things, yeah, they kind of go together.
Right.
And I mean, it was kind of, I would say, kind of the culture as well back then, with a lot of the teenage, early 20s youth.
Right.
It seems to be today a lot more people are a lot more focused and doing a little bit better than we did. But they say like millennials and Gen Z and stuff are like the worst. But yeah, it's, I mean, everyone I knew was like that. Everyone I knew was just the worst possible. So if there was anybody, that didn't do it, they either left the group that the hangout group or whatever, or they started doing it too. What I mean? It just kind of was the way it was. And I don't know, it was all of my friends that I knew back then, I don't even associate or talk to any of them. And they are all still doing the same thing, working at a restaurant, serving tables, and they're like 40 years old.
Well, it's like I had a friend who, at the time, I thought, oh, yeah, good guy, blah, blah, blah. And he just, the more like I moved to Maryland and, or the DMV area, and I'm sitting there getting my life together. I'm like, okay, if I'm getting my life together, maybe he'll pick himself up and get himself back into order, blah, blah, blah. That was my thought. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll rub off on him in a way that is positive to him.
Gross.
Not in that way, James.
Trying
What
to
is wrong with you, man? It's not like I'm that
spice
way.
up the show a little bit. Come on.
No, I don't rub off on any guy like that. But the fact is that I was expecting my good lifestyle. You know what I mean? So because I like, don't get me wrong, I still had drinks and all this, but I wasn't pounding them like I was trying to knock out a 12-pack in a night. You know,
I had
but
buddies that did that. They would. I had a buddy that would, when I was in the military, he would drink a full 18 pack of Bud Light every day. And then he would get up at 4 in the morning and he would go run 5 miles.
See, that's
Never
functional
understood it.
alcoholic.
Yeah,
But
never understood why, but he did.
and see, that's the thing is, like, this guy, he I was thinking he was probably putting away a 6-pack or a 12-pack a night or every other night, something like that. And when he moved in with me and I'm like doing this, I'm like, hey, this is my goals. These are the things I'm doing. I'm changing my life to be better. And I put it all right out there for him. And I kept trying to work with him. He screwed me over horribly, but it is what it is. But the general thing about it was, is that he was so, oh, crying, how do I say? He was so focused on living that life that he had that he never really did anything for his best benefits. So a lot of,
That's like kind of what I noticed. A lot of the people that I was around back then, even the people that I like that today, because I've known a few today, like recently, with our kids and stuff, and like we just back out and pull off, back away from them. Nah, we don't really want to, just come up with excuses why we can't hang out, and then eventually they just stop and go away. You know what I mean? Because the focus on them, and when they talk and the things they talk about, like I had one family, one guy that I would always try to connect with them and try to be friends and talk, just talk about guy stuff, dude stuff.
right.
I don't always want to be guy talking about guy stuff doesn't always necessarily mean tits, cars, football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is, yes, obviously, I love talking about that stuff. It's great.
Right.
Those
Yes.
things are wonderful, but I am also an adult and a man. I am not 20 years old anymore. You know what I mean? I like to talk about politics, money, business. You know, different think parenting. You know, there, you know, even especially even at this age, I even am interested in talking about things like God and religion. You know what I mean? So there's a couple different things. And man, every single time I would talk to him, he would think I was just like, oh, here we go, politics again. It was like, dude, so I just eventually stopped talking to him about anything. And he would always be like, we would go over there, like, for it lasted for about 6 months, and they were fun to hang out with. We would go over, have a couple drinks, hang out, you know, maybe watch a football game or whatever, which was fine, you know. And we would let our kids play together, and they would always have a lot of fun. But just after a while, you start to kind of see what type of people they are. You know, they're smokers and drinkers. They didn't give two you know what's about anything other than finishing the week so they could smoke and drink at the end of the week. Like, their job didn't matter. Yeah, they would go to their job and they were just robot. You know, it was just a robot. They didn't care about it. They didn't care about progression. They didn't care about doing better in their job. They didn't care about, you know, trying to better themselves. Like he was like a warehouse worker at some warehouse. You know, he didn't want to get his boss was telling him that he should get a forklift certification. And he was like, I don't want to. I was like, why? Well,
they're not that hard to get.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, well, then I got to study. You know, I was like, oh, no.
Right.
Whoopee-doo. You know, what does it come with it? I think like a $2 an hour raise when I finish. I was like, okay, that's $2 an hour. Yeah, and then you finish that one. You're right. That's not a lot of money right up front. But, you know, if you're making $25 an hour, now you're making $27. And then that certification only takes maybe a couple months. You know, there's plenty of other certifications you can do to benefit that and even potentially get even more. You know, for my company, these guys that have specialty training and certifications in like IMRL, which is IMRL, you know, supply, logistics, and they do all this stuff. I mean, these dudes are making $50 an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if, you know, 2 years of specialized training and fixing and adjusting, getting certain certifications, you can go from $25 an hour to $50 an hour.
And, you know, you know, if you get enough certifications, you become management, which is even a bigger bump.
Yeah.
Things
and,
like that.
And I would talk to him about this stuff. And just this was like he would always get on me, too, because I'd work all week, and then I would be actively like all week trying to get customers for my resume writing and, you know, stuff like that. And I would be like, oh, no, man, I can't stay too late. It's our, you know, be like 8 o'clock at night. I'd be like, I actually got to head home. I got a resume to write. And he'd be like, oh, man, you're always trying to. I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I? You know,
exactly.
I just like I think I cleared like $2,500 last month in resumes.
Right. Which is a good thing.
Right. Like that's,
I mean,
that's a lot of money. It's $2,500 on top of my normal salary. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't understand why just because I got to step out of the, you know, I got to leave a little early.
Yeah.
Like cry about it, dude. You know, he doesn't care about anything. He wants to sit and do nothing, smoke, drink. And that was it. That was his life. That was all he wanted to do. And I was just like, man, it's a drain on me. I remember his wife was the same way, and it was a drain on my wife because she had zero ambition as well, and she would do the same thing. She would make my wife like have zero ambition, and then their kid was like the same way. So she would like complain to my daughter and stuff, and I was like, yeah. So we just pulled out. And we're like, this is you know, we made an active effort to be like, this isn't for us,
right? And that was kind of my whole issue is. You know, when he just split and ran, I was like, because he left with owing nice chunk of money. We'll say it that way. Yeah. Enough that I'm not thrilled about. But the fact is that when he left, and I have no idea how he's doing now in life or what so have you, but his whole attitude, it was, you had that we were friends. But man, you're not doing anything to improve yourself. You're draining me down. You're making my marriage hard.
Right.
You know, I've given you ample opportunities to do better.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact is you could always try to help those people do better or be better. But on the same note, if they're not willing to be, if they're not willing to be who they need to be, then, or be better to do better.
Yeah, it's on you.
You have to either say, okay, I'm done. I've tried, and it's shitty to say it that way or crappy to say it that way. But the fact is, I can't be around you anymore if you're not going to work to be better. I want you to be better. You're my friend. I want to see you do better. But if you're...
What a lot of those people don't realize is as much effort as it is for you to get yourself in gear and do this stuff, it's just as much, if not more, for me to help you do it.
Right.
So if you're not willing to do it, why should I help you?
Yeah. And that's the big thing. And it's...
Unless you're paying me, then it's different.
If you're paying me, it's a whole different issue, but...
What is it, 3-6 Mafia? Cash rules everything around me?
There you go. But the thing is like, I don't know. It kills me how much people don't think about it. They're like, oh, well, we've been friends for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, yes, but you're an adult now. You're not you're not in high school, or you're not in elementary school where it's like, well, I have to be friends with somebody, and these are the people that are around me.
Right.
Where, like, I was explaining to my son, I'm helping you build a business. Now, mind you, there's a lot more into doing what we're doing for him, like setting up the 3D printing files, finding files we can use, things like that. Also, raising the feeder animals, all this stuff. I just don't
understand 3D printing. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
We print quite a bit now.
Right. And, but what is it? Like, I understand what it is and what it does, but in the end, it's plastic. So the only thing that you can 3D print are toys. That's it.
No. Right. No. I have like tools.
Sorry
I
for the squirrel, but it's weird.
Oh, no, I understand. But no, that's actually not true. Most people print toys. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But like, we're working on terrariums. I'm designing a terrarium wall that allows a gecko to come in, go around kind of like a cave system with a waterfall system that comes down it. Mm-hmm. And then it drains down into the drinking dish, which then feeds back into the reservoir that will then bring it up. And then I'm creating a water dish that has a steamer on top that will allow you to put like a little mist on the bottom of it for his scorpion, because it needs to be in a more humid area.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of people...
I saw their 3D printing metal and stuff now.
Yeah.
That was cool. Did you see the rocket motor?
Mm-hmm. So you can, I can print metals. Yeah, so
that's cool.
You can do metals, you can do glass, you can even do plastic mixed with rock. I mean,
yeah, that rocket motor was cool. It was, it was like 3,000 pounds of thrust, and it was all like designed and built with AI. Like AI did it and then built it. Like that was weird.
Yeah, but and that's the thing is, right now most people are using it for toys, for silly things. Like technically, even us making stuff for terrariums is still considered a silly thing.
Right.
You know, like I've created some things that are meant more for like tools to help me get something through for a temporary thing. I'm not expecting it to be a everlasting tool. Like little hooks that I put on, like I have shelving over there that I hook stuff onto. The stuff like to take care of his animals, we printed some tools for that.
Yeah.
Just
different things. I guess it's cool because it is, everything eventually starts somewhere. You know what I mean? And if we intend to like print replacement organs for people, I mean, you got to start off printing plastic toys.
Well, they print our food now, so.
Yeah, right. So you got to start somewhere. It's like AI. AI wasn't always AI. AI was once upon a time a machine learning model.
You know I was going to say the paper clip through Microsoft.
Right, yeah.
Remember that thing?
It was literal nonsense. It was just kind of a, It was just kind of like a thinking algorithm, basically. Right. It didn't even really think. It just, you know, it had like automated responses. If you type this in, it would just go to this response. And that's essentially what AI is today, but it's a little bit more advanced, obviously.
Right. Well,
it essentially just was machine learning.
Right. Well, it started off like a search, like a search bot before it was called a bot.
Right.
But a search program, then they advanced that. Then Google came around, probably it was somewhere around there. They started searching the internet, and then people started taking more data, more information, and it's kind of things grow. And the problem is, well, not the problem, but you figure out how to use a tool, because AI can be a tool. It can be a distraction. It can be a destructive thing to your life. It can be a lot of things.
It can be some weird stuff too.
It can be, but you need to, but you need to learn how to use that so that it's a beneficial thing in your life instead of some random thing that you're sitting there doing the what is it? Grok has in fact, I think they're getting sued for now. Is, and I could be mistaken, but you can in X say Grok, it show this girl like this, and it does it.
But oh yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Now
that's been coming up. Yeah,
yeah.
It was kinda cool, I mean, but yeah.
Yes,
that's kind of cool, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's
immoral. I agree.
Yes, amoral is definitely the thing there. But the fact is with everything that we're doing, you have to learn how to use the tool. Mm-hmm. So, like, mind you, right now, I printed 3D printed my daughter some flexi foxes for her to play with, toys. Mm-hmm. But, again, I also, while I was away, I printed my ma some, a little water dish and treat container she could carry with her for her dog to be able to drink. So if they're out and about or something, she didn't have to carry a water dish. She can say, here, drink out of this, blah, blah, blah. Pretty simple. So without making a mess. And so I'm like, okay, there's a tool in a sense for her. But really, I've seen some things people have made, and some stuff are pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I guess, how you use, going back to our original topic about who you're around. Mm-hmm. It depends on how you're using that and how you're using the people around you. I hate to say use them, but in a sense, you're using your relationship to either better your life, just like any other tool. Like, look at it. You and I talking. We've been talking for, what, 3 years now almost, if not a little more? And I can say through our conversations, the conversations we've had with others, my life has gotten better.
Yeah.
It's because we both have goals to be better parents, better husbands.
We've learned new things. We've learned things we don't really care for. We've learned things we do care for. Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot of pretty interesting things.
Yeah, I do agree. And that's part of it is like, because we became friends and we've developed our ability to have these conversations like we do, it's helped us both grow. It's helped us. We've met other people. We've become more social and things like that. And at the same time, we grew to say, okay, well, I'm going to do this for my kids. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, they get in this rut of, well, I'm married. I have kids. I just, like you said, go to work, be a robot, do the work, come back. Yeah.
Come home.
Yeah. Where it's like, I have people that they're like, oh, well, what do you want out of life? I want to work. I want to be productive doing something. When I get retirement age, for me, it's either I start my own business or I do part-time work that I can do from anywhere I want to be. But the full retirement thing never really appealed to me. That thought.
Yeah.
But some people, they do nothing but work every day just to retire.
Just to retire,
And you know,
I probably won't retire. I mean, not until I can't work. And that's a different thing. You
know, well, yeah.
Like my grandfather's retired, but that's because he can't work.
And that's the thing is, when the older you, everyone thinks, oh, well, once you hit this age, you got to stop working. Well, no.
Yeah.
To me, I want the financial freedom to enjoy my life, that doesn't mean I need to stop working just to say, oh, well, I hit this age, so let's see. You know how many people I know who they didn't plan for their future. They retired because I've had a lot of older friends and things like that. Yeah. They've retired, had nothing to their name, and their whole life is so depressing that they go back to work.
They go to them,
They go to work, but not to a job that they were looked at and they were appreciated and things like that. They were starting all over, and they stopped working because they thought, well, I'm this age, I need to retire.
Right.
When they could have kept working, they could have cut back their hours, kept making money, and do all these things. So, and that, like I said, that goes about to who you spend your time with, because if I was around those people, like, look at going back to who you marry. One of the biggest decisions. My wife, she is, some days she is a challenge. We'll say it that way.
A challenge. Well, that's just female.
Right. Most days, I love my wife to death. Most days, she's great. She's fun to talk with. And I enjoy listening to her. I will say 100%, 150%, if not more, my life, because of her, because I'm around her and talk to her, she's always had a drive to do better and be successful and all this. She kind of pushed me away from the people that were not really living the best of lives, just kind of partying, kind of, because she doesn't drink. She doesn't get into that whole party scene.
Right.
And she's an accountant, and her biggest thought is, how can I make more money to be able to make more money? You know what I mean?
Right.
So how can I use my money to make more money? And, you know, that's a thought that'll, a lot of people don't think that way. A lot of people think, oh, I'll throw my money into a 401k and expect it to just be enough to retire.
Yeah.
They don't think, like, I have a financial advisor who we had on, who I have to still go through and edit stuff for that episode to be able to air. I'm not a fan of this FCC or F whatever regulations.
The rules you gotta follow,
Yeah, like I have stuff I have to still do just to get it back to them for approval so it's legally acceptable.
Yeah, right.
But the general fact is that you have people, you marry the right person, you have the right people in your life that wants to push you forward, not stand still, not. And that goes to, like, what we started with, the rule of five, where the four people the closest to you are going to determine what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what do you call it? You like reflect the people around you.
You're a mirror or something is.
Yeah. Like you are what you eat, pretty much.
Yeah.
Same idea. Like you let trash around you, you're going to just be trash. You know what I mean? Unless you take active steps to get yourself away from them and out of them. Like I've come across it, you know, myself, you know, where I was actively involved in a group or people or friends that were not good for me or my family. But I took active steps and we pulled away, we backed off, and we took active steps to not be around them anymore. You know, we've been in several situations like that. You know, there's a few other situations where we got some good friends and they're okay. You know, we don't actively spend all of our days around them because they're not really people that are great, but they're nice people to go hang out with, have a burger or something with, and let our kids play and goof off. They're okay in that sense. But then after that, it's kind of like, oh, well, see you later. You know what I mean? Like I go to, throughout the week, I go visit some real estate buddies of mine, you know, because I'm like actively getting involved in that learning. I'm not a real estate guru by any means.
Right.
I don't know nothing about it. You know, I'm learning.
Right.
But they do. You know what I mean? So I'm actively putting myself around them, you know, to get myself involved, do things, you know, learn different techniques, learn different situations. How do I do this and stuff? Where do you get money from? Where do you do this? Where, you know, all these different scenarios and situations to actively get myself involved. You know what I mean? Because like you said, I'm not going to just stand on my 401k.
You know? Right.
I also don't want to stand on the fact that I have a great job. I have a good job. I love it.
Right. But you could lose it today.
Right. I'm not going to get fired from it that I know of. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a great job. They love me. I love them. Hopefully I'm with them for a long time and we do great things together. You know what I mean?
Right.
But what if, you know, the what if is always there. So I got to take active measures to protect me and my family. And by doing that, I got to look for outside sources. I'm not going to find outside sources of learning how to make money, invest, you know, protect my family by hanging out with people that drink beer and smoke cigarettes all weekend long.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? It is.
So I got to actually remove myself, find new friends.
Right. And that,
I'll just smack my microphone.
Yeah. It's not like that's not going to come into the audio. But the fact is that's exactly what it is we, it, I guess, whoever you decide to be around, you better be ready to be like those people. Because right. It's, and I'm not saying where I grew up is bad. There's good people there. Some, I'll admit, right. Some of the people I went to school with who were miles smarter than I am, but they've done some great things. But back where I grew up, a lot of people stayed in that area, stayed mm-hmm. around the people they went to school with, mm-hmm. and they're living good lives in the sense of they have homes, they have their 401ks, they have jobs, things like that.
They're doing all right.
Yeah, but they didn't want to grow much after having, or they, let me rephrase this, because it's been so long I haven't seen these people, and I just see them occasionally on social media and such.
Right.
It doesn't appear. Now, I have no idea what they're doing and things like that, but it doesn't appear that they've actually tried to grow. It's been, and that was my big thing, is I always had that wondrous spirit when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go out in the world. I wanted to do crazy things, be around crazy people, live in a crazy life, all this stuff. I mean,
I always wanted to beat people up. I mean, I did that, but yeah, that's... Right. I always wanted to hurt people, so I did. And then
there you go. See, I was never the one going after violence. I've had violence come to me.
Yeah.
But I never actively sought it. But I was no stranger to it, we'll say it that way.
Yeah.
But the fact is that was kind of like I never sought it. You went out, you joined the military, all this, so you actively sought the violence because you knew you had that to get out and deal with.
Yeah, sort of.
A lot of my violence came because of stupid, crazy things. Because, like, I have if I ever finish it in the next decade, I know I keep saying this about my memoirs I'm writing for my kids to read. Mm-hmm. I wrote a little thing in there about this event where I was in St. Louis. I was doing trade shows, and this vendor at the trade show invited me to go out. It was his hometown, blah, blah, blah. And I kid you not, we're at the bar, we're flirting with these girls, just having a good old time.
Yes.
And he freaks out, and another guy walks up and starts talking crap to him. Mm-hmm. And it just went, one thing went to another thing, and this guy, we went out back to have a fight. I'm thinking, all right, we're going to punch each other. Either some of us are going to end up with black eyes. And the two guys actually pulled guns, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, no.
Yeah.
Not what I want to be right now. But that goes to show, at that time, the people I was around weren't the best of people, and it shows where I ended up going in the sense of getting myself into that kind of situation where one thing led to another. The bar ended up emptying out very quickly after some loud noises were made.
Yeah.
And mind you, I have an interesting story for after that, but not appropriate for this kind of show. The fact is though,
Call with Dad's After Dark.
After the kids are asleep.
Yeah.
there's a podcast. The kids are asleep. The dad talk. Yeah. But yeah, it's just one of those things that I have some great stories in my life. Mind you, a lot of them are wrapped up inside very crappy situations. Hmm. But it's just that kind of life that you lead because of who you're around. Right. If I was one of the smart kids from my that was from my school who went to college afterwards and stuck it with it and got their degrees or went into the military and as an officer or something like that and built up a career from the start. I mean, I wouldn't have had half the stories I have, you know, which is a good thing if you knew half the stories I have.
I mean, you might have because, I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on in the
Well,
military.
maybe if I joined the military, who knows? I don't know what an officer's life is in the military.
They used to have this nickname for the base that I was at. It was Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina.
Right.
They had one because all the officers used to do this thing called key parties. And yeah, so the name of the base was Shaw, so SHAW. So they would call it Sharing Husbands and Wives.
It was a swingers base.
No, yeah, it was bad. It was like bad. They got like several times got in trouble and stuff. And they would have like the officers would have like key parties and stuff, and they would do that stuff all the time. It was like completely normal. Yeah.
That's crazy. But
It's
I mean
weird.
that's one of those things that you don't really know unless
Yeah,
you're,
unless you get involved. Yeah.
because most people they think, oh, an officer in the military, they're upstanding, blah blah blah.
And not to knock on military people, because I'm obviously a veteran military, very proud of what I did, my job is actively helping military people in the civilian world, you know what I mean? Transitioning out of military, so on and so forth. I'm very supportive of military, but I can tell you some of the scummiest people in the world that I've ever met were in the military, for sure. Absolutely.
I believe
It's
that.
yeah, it's because everybody comes from everywhere, every different place, not just in America. You get people from overseas come here trying to get their citizenship through service. There's all kinds of things. So you get people from all over planet Earth, that come. There were a lot of great people, outstanding citizens, you know what I mean? People that everything they say about the military, Uncle Sam and everything, perfect, upstanding people. There were plenty of them, but just as many of them as there was just as many wretched, most horrible people you've ever met in your life. Scum.
Oh, I
So,
believe that. I mean,
yeah.
it's one of those things that just because somebody is part of a group like the military, and I think that's one thing I've always thought about is just because somebody's part of a group, like, oh, well, they're a
Yeah.
veteran.
Just because they go to church on Sunday doesn't mean they believe in God.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, where I grew up, some of the most demonic type of things that happened were from people that were in church in a pew on Sunday as singing louder and prouder and like
That's it's
they.
been like a motto and a philosophy for my like entire life. The majority of my years, I hated religion and could not stand like God and all that stuff. I was very like atheist, very anti-religion, anti-God. Today, I'm a lot more religious and God, but I still, to this day, I still, me and my family do not go to church because,
Well,
I mean, church isn't to me. Church isn't going to some place and giving my money and showing face at some place, some corporate building. It's not. It's church could be at my house. If we, it's just the three of us. We choose to have our own church and have our own service for us and talk about God in on Sunday morning. That's our church. That's what we do.
Well, if you
And
remember
that's,
Pastor Ron, he said that he expected more churches to be backyard churches where your
Like I
family to
refuse to go to church. It's.
and
I've said the my entire life, a motto of mine has always been the more religious someone is, the more hypocritical they typically are. It's held up true, you know what I mean? Because I'm fairly religious today, but I'm not so religious where I'm like doing this in church and I go and I'm not showing everybody how religious I am, you know what I mean? I don't talk about it. It's me and my family, you know what I mean? If somebody asks, I'll mention it, you know what I mean? But that's one thing. Same thing with revolving yourself or people that make you better and stuff. I don't believe those people would make me better, so I don't revolve myself around them. You know what I mean? The phony Christians. I just, you know what I mean?
Right. And
So I
that's
just.
kind of, well, it's like, what was it? My wife We went to this church for a little bit of time, one locally here, and my wife volunteered in the childcare section. And she's like, first she's sitting there going, well, anything other than the elementary school level, they don't teach the kids anything about church. It's just a watch my kid while I'm here. Watch my kid while I'm up in the church. So like I started taking my daughter upstairs with me to the church and she would hear the message and things like that. But it was also like my wife ended up, she was studying for some of her CPA and she was doing some things that she was trying to stay active, but she was also taking time to volunteer. And they're sitting there just giving her a hard time because she showed up late, like maybe 5, 10 minutes before she was supposed to be there. They're like, well, don't you know you're supposed to be here an hour beforehand? And I'm like, it's Sunday morning. We're not coming an hour before church. It's just not happening. And
You're not paying me, buddy.
right. And they were giving her attitude because of this. And I'm just like, you're doing this on your own time. You're not getting anything out of it. Let's just you stop. And so she's like, okay, well, if you want, I'll stay home. You just Nora likes our daughter likes to be up there with us. So my wife would go with me occasionally, but then it just started being one thing started seeming questionable, and then it's like some of the people I started sitting there going, and things in the church changed and what so have you, where we're just like, it doesn't feel right. Yeah, it doesn't feel right anymore. And it's, I guess it goes into that whole mentality of if the people you're around, if the church, I guess it can relate to whatever situation. If the church isn't the right church for you, if you don't get, now mind you, this church didn't turn blue hair, liberal, let's not read the Bible kind of church.
They didn't preach peace, love for everybody, which
Right.
is
I
such
mean,
BS.
they were teaching the Bible and they were still very active about that. It's just it no longer had a feeling of belonging for us, I guess is the best way of saying it.
That's fair.
So, but so it wasn't a bad church at all, at least not when we left. I have no idea what happened after they joined to another church and blah blah blah. God, I'm saying blah blah a lot. You ever? But it's one of those things. If the place isn't good for, don't give you that you need to be there kind of a feeling. If
Time to go.
the people you're around isn't the people you need to be around, then it's time to go. If I mean, there's a lot of circumstances this can be applied to. I
I
mean,
mean, there's plenty of like initial indicators. You know what I mean? That you can, if you're, because I'm actively looking for a church to actually go to. You know what I mean?
right.
Because I think it would be good for my family. You know what I mean? To get kind of more involved in the community. But the one thing I won't do is, I avoid churches at all costs because they're, most of them, are terrible.
Right.
So there's like a small checklist that I have. You know what I mean? So one
Right.
of them is, do they have missionary trips overseas? If they do, no, goodbye, gone. Because the only thing that those are good for is collecting federal money. That's all that's for. It's all a show. It's all fake. It's BS. They're not helping kids in Haiti. They're pretending to, and they're collecting money. They're getting volunteers. They go to Haiti. Maybe they do some things and stuff. But as much money as they spent over there, I can tell you they probably tripled that from the federal government.
Oh,
And
yeah.
no, if they have any sort of one of those, if they have any of those missionary groups overseas, that's the last thing they do. If they're getting any sort of money, they should be helping the local community. It's that simple.
Now I will say this because I know my the church pastor runs with, they work with a missionary group that does oversee like out of the country missionaries, but also like missionaries in state. So like people down in, I think, Kentucky or Tennessee, where it's the very rural areas that it, like, there's places out there that don't even have running water kind of places here in America. So I know that they're part of a group that takes care of that. That's kind of people, missionaries, things along those lines. They are partnered, I think it is, with missionary groups that Pastor Ron has gone and looked into very seriously. And I actually do put a lot of trust in when Pastor Ron says, so I will give him that
He's a
because
good dude.
he is. So I wouldn't say just because the church has the whole missionary thing,
Yeah.
but I guess it's more look at the
I
type
do.
of missionary
I
group
avoid
it is.
that. If they have one of
Well,
those programs, I'm like, nope, goodbye.
again, it depends. If, to me, it depends
Yeah.
if they're associating with somebody like trying to help a group.
Yeah.
Like
I
there's
mean, you
some.
could check into it further, I guess. You can go in there and
Yeah.
ask, where do you get the money to fund this stuff from?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's one thing you could do. It's the same thing
Right.
with churches that have like VPK programs. Here in Florida, I don't know about federally, but here in Florida, VPK is free. It's like VPK and down. It's free because the state gives them money. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So if they, one thing you can do is look at the church. What kind of school do they have? Do they have school only up into VPK and then it stops?
Which
If
tells
that's
you.
the case, that's a clear indicator. That's all
Right.
they're there for is getting federal money. They don't care about anything else. But
Right.
if it goes past that, it may be worth looking into. You know what I mean? I still wouldn't trust it. You know what I mean?
No.
Just
Well,
because most schools in Florida get some sort of state money, not federal money, but state money, especially
it's like
churches.
my co-op. I'm applying for next year's co-op to be administered back into the program. And one of the things that they say is they will not accept any funds from the government. So even if you're like your funds, like you're like, hey, I get a voucher so I can use this voucher. They're like, we need the money directly from you.
That's how my daughter's school is, and that's
Yeah.
one number one reasons why I like that school. They don't
Right.
take state, federal, city, county, nothing.
Right. And that's part of the thing is if you're around people that are actively good and staying out of government control, then good. That's
Yeah.
the type of groups I want to be around.
Right. It kind of
So,
puts it kind of by proxy puts you around similarly like-minded people.
yeah, and that's the thing is now the one thing is like for here, what I've tend to found is I'm in an area that's very liberal. There's Republicans in my area, but Northern Virginia, stone throw from DC, there's no question. There's never been, as far as I'm aware, there's never been a Republican voted into any office in the area I'm at. So tells you exactly what kind of area I'm in. But the job market's good, the housing is expensive. The schools, well, I homeschool, so my school's great.
My school's awesome.
My wife just has a problem with having the my son's teacher harass her, but what's she gonna do? It, but the fact is that who we get around, who we the groups we are with, people we expose our kids to, it's the examples we set our kids. We've talked multiple times about the examples we set for our kids. I mean, but how about this? I mean, what we're going to do is anymore, I'll go back and I'll fix the description and all this for the show, but we're going to leave the live stream up. This is going to be the end of it. If you can't catch all the live streams, you're more than welcome to sign up for the audio. That's on a bi-weekly pace to be played. But subscribe to the sh to our channel here. You'll get notifications when we're live. You'll get notifications when we pr post our shorts and so on and so on. So it's well worth it. And just keep in touch with us. Let us know if you need anything. But with that, where do people reach out to you if they want to contact you or if they have something they need to ask you or even help you get your nonprofit back up?
The normal place, I mean, is pancakeswithyourdad.com. That should have all the locations for all the social medias, LinkedIn, Truth Social, Facebook, Instagram, and X. As well as the nonprofits there, is American-Liberty-Foundation.org. The website is still down. It's a lot of work. I'm working on it, like at least once a week to try and get it up and going, get something added to it, get it back right. But all the social medias are still there as well for that. You just have to just Google search American Liberty Foundation, you know, Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn, X as well, you know, True Social. They're all there. So all the same. You can reach out to me at any of those places. I do have a Gmail as well, pancakeswithyourdad@gmail.com. That's just a simple Gmail. The Pancakes with Your Dad does have an info email. You know, it's like info@pancakeswithyourdad.com. But definitely go to the shop, the Pancakes with Your Dad shop, and you can get all kinds of cool stuff. You know, world's flipping best dad mug right there. Nice. You know, you can get a logo mug. This one broke right here.
Yeah, you broke the handle.
Make
on that
Dad's
one.
Great again, but I dropped it. I broke it. My fault. You know what I mean? I got Mr. Pancakes right there. You know, Mr. Pancakes mug. That's our little kind of coffee brand, Dad Fuel. It's on there.
Yep.
One thing that's been hitting, I actually had a couple of things sell. The Gary Ploche FAFO stickers had quite a few of those sell recently. It's actually a county detective up in Alabama. Actually bought a few, and he is in the children's crime unit, and he hands them out to other officers. Has a good job, you know. And
fantastic.
Their whole unit loves it. So it's definitely supported by the police. So go get your Gary Ploche gear, pancakeswithyourdad.com. It definitely helps support us. Helps us buy things, help us grow, maybe even teach us how to do a podcast. Maybe we could take lessons or something.
that wouldn't hurt. And then, of course, you have Call with Dads, callwithdads.com, where you can see our shops. I added some clothing stuff on there just in case anyone wants it, because I have a shirt that I love, and it's best period dad period ever period, which... I mean, if you're the best dad ever, then why not make sure everyone knows it?
Right.
But buying those will help us be able to grow as well. But all that comes down to what you want. A lot of this is spreading the word about us, telling people about us, and subscribing, sharing, telling people, hey, listen to these guys. They're maybe not always right, but they have a lot of good stuff to say.
Yeah.
It helps. With that... Yeah. We're going to be done. Yeah. We're going to say goodbye.
And thanks for listening.
Thank you guys. Bye. Yeah.